Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California.
Where you stand?
LA living gridlocked in the fast lane. Trying to strike a rich match, play my cash game. At least a couple degrees from the coast where they got bunnies and bricks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast. It is Thursday. It is Thursday evening. And today's podcast is going to be dedicated to the Dodgers mostly. Actually, we're going to talk about a few baseball-related things here on the podcast today. We're going to talk a little bit of Dodgers. Cal Poly is winding down their season this weekend in Davis, and last I checked, they were beating them pretty handily on this Friday afternoon game. I don't think Davis has lights at their baseball field, so Cal Poly's up there getting a win for Casey Bloomquist, I assume, and we'll also talk a little bit about the Slow Blues, and I'll be out there a lot this year. So we're going to get to that towards the end as well. I said we, but really I mean me, because today is one of those, I guess another one of those Owen Main flying solo on the Fansmanship podcast days. And I'm excited to do it. I think it's a challenge for me. It's something that hopefully people enjoy, maybe. If you do or if you don't, you can let me know. But it is something that I kind of enjoy. It's a little bit different kind of a challenge, not having somebody else in studio here and flying solo on the podcast. So let's jump right into it. These podcasts won't be as long, obviously, because it's just me. But maybe with my asides and random things, maybe it'll be a little bit more entertaining. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. I'm open to however it's going. Of course, today, this afternoon, was a great pitching matchup. It was Madison Bumgarner against Clayton Kershaw, and the Giants today, for the third game in a row, up in AT&T Park in San Francisco, on this midweek series that the Dodgers went in there, I think, with a 4.5 game lead, and now I believe it's probably down to 1.5. The Giants are the hottest team in baseball. They swept the Dodgers. And they didn't just sweep them, but they shut them out in every single game. And the Dodgers haven't scored now in a lot of innings. The headline on TrueBlueLA.com was pretty fun. It was Dodgers go 0 for San Francisco, I think, which is a pretty clever headline there, probably by Eric Steven, who is a friend of the podcast here. He's been on our podcast before and really good guy to follow if you're a Dodger fan trying to get information about what the team's doing. And honestly, offensively, they're not doing much. This is a team that came into this series, that came into this week really being, you know, really just by far the best hitting team in the major leagues. And I came into this season from a fan standpoint thinking that, you know, I was going to take the long view. I'm not going to overreact to them doing really well. I'm not going to overreact when they really stink, because that's baseball. And you could be really stinky for a month or two and be a really, you know, historically good team potentially. I mean, that's the way that this sport works. And the longevity of a season is something that you just have to keep in mind. And I told myself that, and then the Dodgers got off to such a hot start. They were the best hitting team in the majors. They hit the most home runs by far. They did all of it without their best player, Yasiel Puig, or I guess the guy who was projected to be their best player this year. And Puig's been out with a hamstring injury. And they did all of it without Hyunjin Ryu, and, you know, kind of piecing together the fourth and fifth starting positions. And it really, you know, was looking really rosy when it came to some of the moves that the new front office had made. And then this week happened, and on this and it's a historically bad week offensively. They scored 2 runs in their last 5 games. So May 16th to the 21st, they've scored 2 runs. They won one of those games somehow. I'm not sure exactly how, but they've scored 2 runs in the last 5 games. 0 runs scored in San Francisco. And I go back to the first inning of game one up there when Jock Peterson led off the inning and the game with a double to deep left center field, out of Dodger Stadium for sure, up at AT&T Park. I always want to call it Pac Bell Park. Up at AT&T Park, the ball was way in deep left center, went off the wall. Peterson ends up with a double. Jimmy Rollins comes up next, and batting left-handed, all he has to do is pull the ball on the ground to get, you know, the runner over. I know that's not really the approach maybe that the Dodgers take in terms of giving up outs, giving up runs, or giving up outs to get a run potentially. But with, you know, Adrian Gonzalez and Howie Kendrick coming up behind him, and Rollins hitting, you know, under 200, Rollins takes a pitch, and I think from Tim Hudson and flies out to left field, like not even on the right side of the field, not even on the ground, just, you know, a waste, you know, a fly out to left field. And I know he can't control exactly where he hits it all the time. I know Tim Hudson's a professional Major League Baseball player, but from that, you know, from that moment, Peterson eventually got to third in that inning and was stranded. And it was as good an opportunity, I guess, as the Dodgers had all series when you get a leadoff double to start the thing, and you can't cash that in. It really kind of sets the tone. So it's really interesting how one play or one series of plays in baseball can kind of set a tone for, you know, momentum to happen throughout. And that's kind of one of those things that might have happened when Rollins wasn't able to move a guy over or to be productive. And I think at some point Rollins' spot at the second position in the order has to be questioned. That's something that I'm sure Don Mattingly will take into account. I'm sure that the Dodgers wish they had Yasiel Puig back, although Puig's not playing shortstop anytime soon, and Rollins is there, you know, this year. So it'll be interesting to see kind of what kind of shuffling happens. Again, fans want to overreact, and I have this, you know, burning desire to overreact. I hate so much when they lose to anybody, but especially when they don't score a single run against the Giants. And here on the Central Coast, when Giants fans can rub that in, it's always it always stings a little bit more. So, the Dodgers lost three in a row, and things aren't looking good. Puig is still out. Guys who were hitting didn't all at the same time, I guess, which is how you score zero runs in three games. They got news this week also that Hyunjin Ryu is out for the season. Looks like he's going to have shoulder surgery. So now the Dodgers really have to set their sights on maybe picking up a third starter, or maybe not. I mean, who knows what Friedman and his group are going to do. But when you depend on offense like they do, and when you have a team and a roster that can go three straight games without scoring a run, I just have questions at that point about where that team's going and what they're doing. As high as I let myself get on them, which I told myself I wouldn't do at the beginning of the year, but as high as I got on them, as high as I was on them, I don't know, a week ago, almost exactly going into that weekend series last weekend, I have just as many questions now. And this is why baseball is so maddening. It's why baseball is such a great game, because of the amount of time and the time element, you know, that you can be really bad and still be a good team. You can be doing really poorly early in the year and still, especially in this environment, in terms of when so many teams are in the wild card chase, when so many teams have a chance to get to the World Series, you can still, you know, catch up if you have bad times. So I just have to keep telling myself that, and keep telling myself that when Yasiel Puig gets back, things will be a little bit better. And gosh, these guys are professionals, right? You got to hang in there with them, I think. A couple of things, a couple of other notes, I guess. Let's see here. The Dodgers went 0-7 with runners in scoring position on Thursday, and were 0-17 in the series with runners in scoring position. They're 1-32 in that situation at AT&T Park. And the Dodgers have 6 losses in 6 games there this year. They've gotten swept both series in San Francisco. They don't go back, I think, till August or September, which will be interesting, you know, to see how both teams do. Certainly the Giants have kind of put a marker down as maybe having some guy's number. I don't know if it's a mentally tough thing. I don't really know what it is. I'd like to think that when the Dodgers go to play San Francisco, that it matters to them, that it means, I don't want it to mean more, but I want it to mean as much at least. And I don't know if that's still the case that it does. I don't know. I don't know what the solution is, but it does kind of make me scratch my head. It does make any Dodger fan a little bit frustrated, especially when the Giants can have bragging rights on top of the Dodgers. The Dodgers are still in first place, of course. I'm going to tell you by how many games in a second, but you know they're still in first place over the Giants. That's part of the great start that they had, allowed them to still be there. But it's only by a game and a half. And they've kind of come back. I think they were 12 games above 500. Now they're, or 11 games above. Now they're 8 games above. So there you go. They're still playing 600 baseball in the year. The sky is not falling, but this team's not infallible, right? I thought, you know, maybe the way that they were playing, this is, you know, a team that could win 95 games. And they still could really easily. But again, you kind of got to take the good with the bad. And I'm here talking on the podcast to kind of do some self-soothing. I don't know how to describe it. Maybe be my own shrink about it. You know, it's really hard when you're when you have to battle between patience and a guy who's competitive. I mean, I'm a competitive guy. As a fan, I guess I want to see my guys be competitive. The team, when I say my guys, the teams that I root for, whoever those teams are. You got to figure out whether you're taking the long view or whether, you know, the rivalry can kind of amp it up and you can get all caught up. And it's, you know, it's a question of trusting in the process versus one frustrating week. And as a fan, I don't think you can let one frustrating week kind of ruin the process, right? I mean, if I was going to be as excited and as willing to follow the process, one week of baseball, one half year of baseball probably, you know, shouldn't change how I feel. Now, that said, at some point you have to have results, and that's what the Giants would point at, right? And their fans would point at is that the Giants have had results, though. And it's a bummer when you think you have a good process, like I think the Dodgers do at this point, and when the results aren't quite there yet, and the results year to year can change so much that, you know, that I don't know if the process always works. We're going to see. We're going to see what the process is and how it goes. And, you know, I think this organization is definitely headed in the right direction. But gosh, it's just really frustrating when the Giants beat the Dodgers 3 games in a row. I'm sure Giants fans love to hear me say that. We're going to be right back. I'm going to talk about a couple of other baseball teams here in San Luis Obispo, what my plans are for the next week or so, and hope you guys are having a good day today, whatever day you're listening to this, and we'll be right back here on the fansmanship.com podcast. Guess who's back? Hey, Owen again on the podcast here. We're doing it in the fansmanship.com studios. It is, I don't want to call this like an emergency podcast. I know that's something that one of the podcasts I like listening to, Michael Rappaport, I Am Rappaport podcast, is a fun one to listen to if you can take a little bit of potty mouth, bad language, among other things. But he has some funny, you know, New York-based kind of takes on sports and other things. So he talks about emergency podcasts. This isn't an emergency podcast, but it's definitely feeling a little bit, it's having me feel a little bit uneasy, especially when you get down to how the Dodgers kind of just went in the tank and didn't score a run against the Giants this weekend. So I want to talk a little bit about some San Luis Obispo-based baseball news that's coming up right now. Like I said before, Cal Poly's playing their final game of the, or their final series of the year this weekend. It's Thursday right now, and Casey Bloomquist was on the hill this afternoon for Cal Poly, pitched a good game. The Mustangs were up, I think, 12-1 last time I checked. And they're out of playoff contention, but they're finishing the season really strong. And so it's something to think about. I saw a news release came out from Cal Poly Athletics today that talked about a new renovation to Bagot Stadium, which is going to be pretty cool over the next, I think, 2.5 years or so. At the conclusion of next year, they're going to break ground on a new clubhouse, some new bleachers at Bagot Stadium that are permanent, that are going to replace the temporary bleachers that had been put in over the past couple of years. Of course, with the Mustangs hosting the first regional ever last season, there's some momentum to make the stadium kind of up to par and get some really great clubhouse stuff going on. I know the clubhouse there is kind of older, and the thing that they're looking at building is just incredible. It's going to be a two-story building between the Al Motna hitting cages and then the end of the current kind of Kruko area. It looks like Kruko's is going to be permanently kind of above the dugout from the drawings I saw. It may have some shade over there on that side as well, which would be really nice. And then you're going to have the the new clubhouse with a second story where people can go and hang out, where fans can sit maybe. I'm not sure exactly who gets those tickets, but kind of like almost a luxury box down the left field line there, a little bit farther. So that should be pretty neat. I'm excited about that as a fan, as somebody who goes to a lot of games there. You know, it's definitely kind of the next step, and I could see it really affecting recruiting as well for students and student athletes who are looking at places to go in baseball. You know, who goes where is on such a thin razor's edge, I think, in terms of what high school students decide to do and where they decide to go. And so this is going to be, I think, something that should be positive for Cal Poly, for Larry Lee's program. He's definitely built a lot there, in terms of program and in terms of tradition, and now they're physically building something at Bagot as well that's going to just add to the fan experience and really add to, hopefully, you know, for Cal Poly's sake, for recruiting and everything else. I think it has all kinds of potential to be really great. It means that the 2017 season, I think, will be played without a clubhouse, I think, is how it's looking, but that the 2018 season, it'll be ready to go. So I think it's going to take about a year and a half to build, and pretty cool that they've been able to raise enough money for it. So good job, Cal Poly. Speaking of college sports, college baseball, the San Luis Blues starts this weekend, and I'll be out there a lot this year. I'm going to be taking a lot of pictures for the Blues. I'm hoping to have their student broadcaster on the podcast as a guest. I'm looking at actually a few guests right now. Ramsey's Barden's going to be running a combo like football and dance camp, so that's going to be an interesting thing. I want to talk to him about that. He's doing it at his high school down in, I think it's Flint Ridge Prep, down in the Pasadena kind of area, Flint Ridge area. I don't think it's not Pasadena, but it's nearby Pasadena. And then I want to maybe get Don Oberhelman or somebody from Cal Poly on as well to talk a little bit about the facilities. So the next couple of weeks, it's not just going to be Owen talking. But back to the Blues, you know, this year, the Blues have almost all their games at home. They have like 35 games at home over the next month and a half or so. And really, it's a short season. They have a lot of Friday, Saturday, Sunday games, a lot of fireworks games. It's you know, if you've gone to Blues games in the last couple of years, you kind of have a picture of what to expect. They play with wood bats. They have a lot of players from the Big 12, a lot of players from Cal Poly, actually, this year, including Burton DeKoning, who is a football player who will be playing baseball for the Blues this year, trying to make the Cal Poly baseball team roster for next season as well in his senior year. So there are a lot of kind of fun storylines going on. And again, the season starts tomorrow. That'll be Friday. And I think they play the San Francisco Seals tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday, which will be, you know, a fun thing to be out to. I'll hopefully be out there tomorrow and Saturday. Sunday, I'm actually, I think, back to Cal Poly. I think I'm headed up to check out Chase Johnson in his start. I think he's scheduled to start Sunday. It'll be like a 1 p.m. start up in San Jose for the San Jose Giants. I'm really thrilled to be able to go check that game out and hopefully have some pictures of Chase and how he's doing. Maybe get some time with him either on Sunday or shortly afterwards in terms of availability. So that should be really cool too. A couple of things. Owen Main Photography is a good place to get sports pictures taken, so check it out. Not to pat myself on the back, but yeah, if you need anything sports or photography related, please hit me up. If I can't do something, I'll point you in the direction of somebody who can, for sure. But I enjoy taking pictures at games, and it's something that I do. So that's definitely available. I'll be out at a lot of Blues games, like I said, this summer. If you're out at a Blues game, say hi to me. If you're out at a Cal Poly game, stop me, say hi. I usually have a Dodgers hat or a Cal Poly hat on. Maybe I'll get a Blues hat for this summer. I think that's an appropriate thing. You can find me on Twitter at Fansmanship. You can find me on Facebook, facebook.com/Fansmanship. And you can find the pictures that I take at photos.fansmanship.com or obviously fansmanship.com. You can follow this podcast on iTunes. You can also, or subscribe to it, I guess, and give it like high ratings. That would be pretty rad. You can also, like, 5 stars, I think, is the highest you can give. So that would be much appreciated if we got some ratings and stuff like that. You could also find us on Stitcher, which is another way that you can, it's an app you can download for your phone and you can listen to podcasts on it. And that's for Android or iPhones. And then, you know, definitely, you know, drop us a line, follow us on Twitter. And I guess that's it. So a good solid 20-minute quick hitting podcast today with just Owen. We'll be doing some Hurricane and Scroggs podcasts as well. Got one of those coming up too. So hope you have a great day and have fun. Have fun being a fan, guys. And we'll talk to you soon on the fansmanship.com podcast.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Fansmanship Podcast. For more podcasts and more in-depth sports discussion, go to fansmanship.com.
Well, I've been stuck on down in Trouble Town. It's a lonely place, it's true. Street lights so bright they blind my vision. And the people on the streets, they beat me up till I'm black and blue. Signs out on the streets direct me running back.